episode 92 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, and there is yet another new voice. We're always mixing it up here on Brutal Battle. We're always getting new, I would say faces, but new voices, because none of you can see these people. But we have a very fine-looking gentleman with us here today. Your name?
Oh, I'm Dan Kim.
Dan Kim. He's actually a coworker of mine who we started talking about craft beer at one point, and I was like, hey, do you want to come on the show sometime? He said yes, and then there's a special reason he's on this episode, but we will get to that in a minute. First, as everybody knows, if you're a regular listener, you know we do the hop knowledge.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So today is Northern Brewer, and I went with the U.S. version of the Northern Brewer hop. It's grown in the U.S. and it shares a heritage with German hop variety. In 1934, Northern Brewer was crossed with an American native hop variety. It faced a growth in acreage in the U.S. and today can be found in many commercial beers. It's a dual-use hop. Let me see what else. There's all sorts of... It's got a woody, herbaceous, and peppery blend to the aroma and adds that kind of characteristic to beers that it's used in.
Yum.
Yeah. I mean, if you're into it, you know. For me, it's not always good, not always appropriate, in my opinion, but, you know, that's just my taste. Apparently, it's widely available and useful in many beer styles, ranging from IPAs all the way to porters.
Porters? An herby hop in a porter? I'd like to try that. Maybe it might be interesting.
I'm sure I've had it somewhere along the way, but it doesn't stick out in my mind, because when you're thinking porters, you're usually thinking, like, dark, malty, rich, chocolatey.
Roast,
yeah.
Like coffee, yeah.
The good'un. So, two examples of beers that use Northern Brewer. One is Black Tie IPA by Deschutes Brewing out of Oregon.
Right.
And the other one is one of my favorite porters, Flying Dog Brewery's Gonzo Imperial Porter.
Really?
And they're out of Frederick. So they have Northern Brewer in that porter.
Really interesting.
Why is that? Is that one that you really like?
Well, I've had the Gonzo before, and, it's a really big-bodied, you know, really big-bodied beer, and...
It is.
I think that, like, the malt profile just, you know, that was the dominant flavor I was getting. I wasn't getting a ton of
herbaceous hop or anything like that. Yeah. Woodiness, herbaceousness.
But it might give it balance and, you know, just a little like background intrigue that I wasn't picking up on.
Yeah, and it's a situation where if they set a beer down in front of you, that same beer, and they were like, here it is with and here it is without Northern Brewer in it,
right. You
might taste a very big difference. It's just with all the ingredients together, you can't necessarily pick every single thing out and say, this is adding this and this is adding this. They just all come together to harmonize, and then that beer, those ingredients harmonize very well.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. It is one of my favorite porters, I would say. But Dan, question for you. It's a pretty standard question that we ask everyone who comes on for the first time. How did you get into craft beer?
Well, a pretty typical story is I got into beer in general once I got into college.
You were almost going to say high school.
No, I was actually really straight-laced in high school.
Yeah, so was I.
But when I got into college, you know, I would, you know, go to parties. And I went to college in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And, you know, you saw people getting Milwaukee Light.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's Best.
Yeah,
and
the Beast.
Right. But the big beer that we used to like is Leinenkugel's. And that was back when, you know, about before they were owned by AB and Bev. But... I remember Liney's Red was a big entry point for me, and Killian's Red. I think I liked a lot of reds coming in. And then just very slowly over the years, and then probably in the last 3 years, I really got into it. Maybe even last two.
Yeah. I remember when you and I started chatting about craft beer at the office, it was maybe a year ago, maybe not even a year ago. It's hard to put a time frame on that in my mind.
Yeah, it's like probably a year and a half ago.
Yeah. And when we were talking, I think you had kind of said you were mainly into Belgians at that point. You were feeling things like the Blue Moon, the Allagash, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I just recall now that as I've been talking to you over the months, that things are just so like changing so much with you. And you're like, I was just drinking this stout and this porter and trying that IPA. And
yeah, I guess I think my favorite styles these days are like IPAs and wits. I really like wits a lot. Belgians, like, I kind of...
You're falling off on those, right?
Falling off on Belgians. I'm planning on getting into seeing if I like doubles and triples, you know, just to see what that holds, but I haven't really... That's a future experiment for me.
Well, if you're okay with, like, a syrupiness, like a Belgian that's just, like, higher alcohol and pretty kind of syrupy, then that's kind of what you can think is in store for you, so... But the main reason that Dan was very excited to come on this show is because I was able to get a hold of some Pliny the Elder. Thank you very much, Danny Miller.
Thank you, Danny Miller.
Danny is in Danielle Miller. She was gracious enough to send me some Pliny the Elder. And I also have to thank Andrew Peavy on this one, who's from Minnesota, because he sent me a beer that we're going to try blind next to Pliny the Elder. And that is Scream Double IPA by New Glarus. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because the Scream Double IPA, the brewer at New Glarus had said that his wife's favorite beer is Pliny the Elder.
And wow.
Yeah, so he made Scream as kind of a homage to Pliny the Elder, so he tried to make it similar.
Well, Pliny's kind of the original, right? It's the kind of... Right, it's the original double IPA.
Yes, and a lot of people have tried to do the same thing with their beer, and that's why a lot of times when people haven't ever had Pliny before and then they have it, they're like, I feel like I've had this before. So it's not like as mind-blowing as everyone thinks because they've had some iteration of it, basically.
Right.
So it is a little bit of a letdown in that respect, but it is a very nice beer.
Right. So, at that point, it's about excellence of execution.
Right, exactly. You know, the how suave are you at brewing and... Vinny Lachurzo at Russian River is very suave with his brewing. I've had quite a few of his beers, and we'll be having more, thank you to Danny. So, yeah. So, we are going to try these blind. They're in front of us right now. Rebecca poured them, and, you know, they're behind the A and the B slots. But we're going to call them 1 and 2, so we don't get them, you know, mixed up with the mystery beers. So, 1 and 2 are in front of us. We don't know which is the Pliny. We don't know which is the Scream. We're going to see if we can... maybe guess if we want to, but ultimately we're going to say which one we like the most and then we'll reveal what was what.
Right, I mean, I haven't had either one, and actually this will be my first New Glarus solo beer. I've had one or two collaborations with New Glarus, but never, I mean, I just don't go out to Midwest very often. Yeah.
New Glarus typically does like lighter style beers, and their execution is very nuanced, and their stuff is very clean typically.
Yeah.
So they go like light, clean, well put together type beers. So if you're into like real hardcore, like in your face beers, it's typically not what New Glarus does.
Right.
So, but they do well. So let's go ahead. Right off the bat, sitting in front of us, they're almost the same color, but number one is a little more orange.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And cloudy, I would say 2 is much more filtered.
Yes, very accurate on that. I can see right through 2. 1, I can see through it, but it's a little more obscured than 2 is.
Mm-hmm.
2 has a significant white head to it. And 1 has just a little bit of head around the edges of the glass, but that's pretty much all I see. There's a big head on 2, big time.
Yeah.
Those are the big differences looks-wise. So let's go ahead and pick up 1. Let's go ahead and do the... cup and swirl. We do the cup and swirl here, Dan. It's exhilarating. See what kind of smells you get out of that? What are you smelling?
Grapefruit right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. Grapefruit like crazy. So hoppy. I smell a little bit of like a bubblegum note to it. Just on the end. It's like fruit stripe gum a little bit. Very citrusy with the grapefruit and then like a bubblegumminess. It smells really good.
Yeah, this smells excellent.
It's got kind of a little bit of like a sticky richness in the nose that I feel like when I take a sip of it, I'm going to feel a little more mouthfeel than you typically would get from like a regular IPA.
A thicker mouthfeel?
Yes.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
A little bit. You smelling anything else on that?
I get...
It's tropical.
Just like a tiny bit background of... You know, just like a cracker, just at the very back of it. But
I could see that.
I mean, it smells really good.
It just really smells like pineapple and fruit stripe gum to me.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, I don't, maybe it's because of the first one I'm smelling, but it smells like a double IPA to me.
Yeah, yeah. Like a very typically West Coast
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
God, it's so.
I definitely have a West Coast bias when it comes to IPAs. Yeah.
The more I sniff it too, I just keep getting so much of like a bubblegum finish at the end of that nose. It's weird. Just like pineapple bubblegum. Nice. All right, I am very much ready to sip on this. Not as much mouthfeel as I thought there was going to be. A little more bitterness than I expected, but good.
Yeah, it is good. And I was expecting a little bit more carbonation. I don't know if that's my fault, because I was like trying to smell so vigorously, but...
No.
The carbonation's a little disappointing, but it's there, but it's not as what it could be.
Which tastes a tad bit more astringent than I thought it would be, but your first sip, you get a lot of that grapefruit up front, yeah. And I do get that bubblegum flavor with it, too.
And it's definitely has a syrupiness, lingers on the tongue. I would say the front of the tongue, front to mid part of the tongue, it has a lingering. But it's not overly bitter at all.
No, it's not.
Very nice.
You get a little bit, like, after you get the citrus and the bubblegum notes, you get a little kick of the bitterness, and then it kind of starts to dissipate a little bit. I mean, it's still perceptible on your palate, but it's not too aggressive. Like, it's pretty pleasant. I am starting to feel a bit of a heat, like an alcohol heat in my mouth as I'm just kind of sitting with it.
Yeah.
It's definitely warming up. It lets you know it's a little bit higher alcohol. So... As Imperials are typically going to do that for you.
Yeah, I mean, blind guess, I would say 9% or 8% or something.
Yeah, somewhere in there. So, number two. Oh, and one thing we did forget to note about the difference between one and two is sitting here, and there's so much more carbonation coming from the bottom of that glass than with one. I'm actually... You really have to look at one to see any sort of carbonation going on there, and it's not a whole lot.
Well, that was... I don't know if it's the difference in the, like, difference in the pour, but I was noticing that I was getting bubbles from the bottom rising up on one, and on two, I could see the carbonation on top, but...
Just kind of forming on the sides.
Yeah, right.
Got it. Well, let's go ahead and smell on two. I get a little bit of a resiny pininess on two.
This is different.
It is different. I do get the grapefruit.
Yeah, it's
but it's darker. It's richer in its scent. And like I was saying, like there's a bit of a pininess, a resininess that really was not in number one.
Right. Almost kind of like, I mean, it's in a good way, kind of like an air freshener.
Okay.
Like
I could see that. Like a citrus air freshener.
No, not a citrus, like the
pine.
That cardboard pine thing that people put on their car windows.
Right.
Car mirrors.
Yeah, I could feel you on that. If that's mixed with some good citrus in addition, I could definitely see that. Very interesting, because for supposing to be kind of similar, the noses are very different.
Very different.
Very different. Where A is just like so vibrant. I'm sorry. One is so vibrant with the grapefruit, and then it's got that bubblegum to it. Two is just like it's pine at first. Then you're getting some of like the hardcore citrus, and it just smells like. Well, this smell typically will make me describe it as kind of like dehydrated citrus fruit. Because it gets a little more on the sugary side with the way it smells.
Yeah, I mean, it also smells a little, little cleaner. Like it's not hitting me as hard, but it's hitting me more specifically. It's instead of like a wave, it's more of like a clean point.
Got it. Very cool. All right. Well, I'm ready to taste this. Very light bodied beer. I was not expecting it to be that light because with the resiny smell that I was getting on it, I was expecting it to like really coat my mouth when I took a sip. And it doesn't, it kind of falls off, but that's not a bad thing. It's just kind of like a bit refreshing actually.
Right, and I would say like although the smells differed a lot, the tastes are more similar than the smells were.
Yeah.
But the you know, so we were saying that, you know, it was a little strange that one would be the homage of the other. And
right.
The smells are so different. But the taste, you can see that there it is kind of an homage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I actually do get a little bit of that bubblegummy characteristic in two
mm-hmm.
that I was getting in one. I am getting the pine in two on the flavor, and I really didn't get any pine in one, so I don't know. I mean, what the difference is there.
I mean, I would also say that I would say it has a, to me it has a bigger mouthfeel, but it two does not linger on the palate as much as one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because it's kind of like, between these two beers, it's like, what are you looking for? Do you like something with a bit of a piney note to your Imperial, or do you like it sans pine? Because that's kind of the largest difference, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Although, actually, never mind, there is another difference, and that's that, two, I'm really not perceiving a whole lot of alcohol. You know, we were getting that kind of like warming feeling in our mouths from the one with the perceptible alcohol. I'm not really getting much perceptible alcohol in two. Either it's hidden really well or it's significantly lower.
Well, I would say it finishes cleaner, and I think that's a part of the reason why the alcohol is a little bit better hidden.
It does. It does finish cleaner. God, this is.
So if I would go back and forth, or
yeah, I've been going back and forth, and for me, it's kind of hard for me to give a favorite because I see the merits of both of them. When we're talking about the typical flavor that I like for my IPAs and my Imperials. A is kind of more in line with what I like because I like more aggressive citrus notes without pine. But B, like you were saying, it's finishing cleaner. Mm-hmm. I'm not perceiving as much alcohol to it. And the way the pine's integrated, it's really well done. Like, I'm not drinking it and being like, there's the pine note and I'm hating this.
No, I mean, these are obviously both well done beers. You know, to me, I think I'm leaning towards one being the better beer for me. I think part of it is just that it's a little bit more integrated. It seems like it comes in a better package, and it's a little bit soft is the wrong word, but my tongue is just a little bit more welcoming to it. It just seems to envelop my taste buds a little bit in a nicer way. Whereas two, it's still a good beer, but I feel like it's a little tiny bit punchy.
Mm-hmm. God, I don't know. It's so hard for me if I have to say one or the other.
Yeah, like, and two, I feel like I'm tasting three things at the same time.
Okay.
Whereas one is...
It's a little more straightforward.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is what I'm doing. You know, and if you like it, you love it.
I'm gonna be honest, I think I would choose for myself two.
Okay.
Because the way it's crafted, the way everything kind of rounds out and comes together, I like that. It's a cleaner finish. I'm not perceiving as much alcohol as I am with one, and that's bothering me a little bit in one. I like the grapefruit notes in the flavor more in one, but two, there are enough of the grapefruit notes, and the pine is integrated well enough that I'm enjoying it. So I would say that two's my favorite. And you're saying that one is your favorite?
I'm saying one's my favorite.
Wow. Do you want to guess which one's which?
I mean,
it's a tough one, right?
I mean, just from stereotypical things we were talking about the two breweries, you know, you would figure that the New Glarus version might be the more refined version just because it came later.
Right.
You know, not because they're a better brewery per se, but just because they're... You know, they were able to base their recipe off another recipe, so we, you know, fine tune it theoretically, you know, and I mean, and just based off of that assessment alone, I'm thinking one might be New Glarus.
Okay. Yeah, I am thinking that one is New Glarus as well. I was actually thinking when the beers were put down in front of me by Rebecca that two off the bat was Pliny because of what I remember Pliny looking like. Because I think I remember it looking extremely clear and much more like yellowy orange.
Well, that's something I did. I was wondering
so
about.
I'm not sure for the fact
that two was so much more filtered. I mean, that would be something that you might know from the reputation of the brewery.
Yeah. See, but I can't be 100%. So I'm going to go ahead and reveal it. One of us voted for Pliny. I know that. One of us did because we covered both of our bases. All right. So, one was Scream Imperial IPA.
Oh, wow.
And two was the Pliny. So, I chose the Pliny, and Dan, you chose the Scream. Both excellent beers, though.
Both
That's
excellent
the thing.
Beers. And, you know, I was honestly rooting that I would like Pliny better.
Right.
Because, you know, it's the more famous beer. It's the, you know, the more highly coveted beer.
Yes.
And I'm from California, and so I have a West Coast bias. But I got love for Wisconsin, too. So I'm happy to like both, but I'm happy to like the New Glarus, too.
Yeah, I like both of them. They're both really good beers, and these are both beers that I would seek out to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you could hear, it was tough for me. It was really, really tough to kind of make a decision on that, but
it
is what it is.
And it's funny that they're so similar, but tasting them back-to-back...
They're so different.
Well, right, and then you develop a clear preference, even though they're so similar.
Yes.
Going back and forth even more, I'm definitive in my New Glarus preference.
That's cool. And that's the thing, like, whatever people's expectations of beers isn't necessarily what happens. Perfect example, if anyone hasn't listened to it, go back and listen to it, but it's a bit of a spoiler. We did our tournament for Imperial IPAs some time ago, and Heady Topper was in the tournament and did not win it. You know, you would tell someone there's an Imperial IPA tournament, Heady Topper's in it, and people would be like, oh, Heady Topper wins. But it didn't. So, you know, when you don't know what you're tasting and you're just going on, okay, what am I enjoying right now? You don't know which way you're going to go.
And I remember there was another podcast, which I won't mention the name.
No, you can. I don't care. Go ahead.
It's Craft Beer Anonymous.
Okay. I haven't listened to them yet. I hear they're decent.
Yeah. I mean, I like them. But, I mean, anyway, I'm not going to do a review of that show right now. But I remember they did an East Coast versus West Coast IPA challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And they both of those guys, I mean, I think they live in San Diego and they have a total West Coast bias. And the winner of the tournament, they did a blind tournament, and the winner of the tournament ended up being a New York IPA.
Really?
And it was an East Coast New York IPA. It might have been, it had something, the name had something to do with flowers.
Was it Flower Power by Ithaca Brewing?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Flower Power's good. That's a very good IPA. Isn't it weird that I just know these things?
Not when I know you.
I drink so much beer.
It's funny. He's like, you seem to have beer contacts, you know, in every state.
it's weird. It just works out that way. All of a sudden, people are like, hey, I'm here. You want me to get this for you? Yeah.
Well, it's become, like, the thing that you're known for, Kyle.
Well, I'm fine with that because it's awesome for me.
Yeah, I know. I should be famous among my friends for loving new cars or something.
There you go. Well, hopefully you enjoyed your first tasting of Pliny the Elder.
I did.
You can at least tell people, hey, I tried Pliny, and I liked it. So let's put the Pliny and the Scream aside. We can finish those a little bit later.
Yes.
And it's time for the mystery beers already. So this is where you're going to get your initiation into straight up mystery beers. You don't know what these styles are going to be. At least with the Scream and the Pliny for you, you knew Imperial IPAs.
Right.
This, no clue. But I will tell you, B most likely is not any sort of IPA. Unless it's a black IPA.
Could be a black IPA.
Because it's very dark. Or some crazy new style. There are always breweries coming up with crazy new styles out there. But A and B, you know, night and day, pretty much.
Yeah.
A is very orangey. It's very clear.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit cloudy, but it's mostly clear. I mean, there's definitely no dregs or anything like that in it.
No. And B, extremely dark. You can see a little bit of, like, brown on the edges. And
right.
There's a nice tan head to it. So I'm thinking, you know, stout porter. But then again, maybe black IPA that's very malty.
Right.
Who knows? Schwartz beer, whatever.
I mean, I've seen darker heads on dark beers before, but
me too.
You know, it's not a white head at all. It's definitely like a cappuccino head or something.
Yeah, you talk about like a beer like Founder's Breakfast Stout that has such a dark brown head to it.
Right. Or
you're looking at this, and that's not even close.
Something like 1050 or something like that.
Oh, 1050. It's like motor oil, and it's...
Right.
Yeah,
I
hear you.
I can't take that
one. Well, I'm going to take a sip of water real quick. I'm going to start sniffing on A.
Mm-hmm.
The lighter one. Go ahead and see what kind of notes you can grab out of that.
Oh, wow.
Orangey. It smells very orangey. But there's also... a little bit of like a hay note on the end of it.
Okay.
The orange smells a little, not as much like tart and acidic as it is like a sugary orange type scent.
Or maybe even have you ever tasted the orange you get in Chinese orange chicken?
Yes, that's actually a very good comparison. Yeah. It does smell like dead on. Good job, Dan.
Yeah, thanks.
You're the man.
Oh, look at this.
I don't want to inflate your ego much. But...
I'll be moving in. Hope you like kids.
No. No kids house here. Kyle Harris learned that one. It does smell sugary, though. It's like you get a little bit of that kind of tart citrus on there, but it's very sugary, too. It's
right.
Like orange sugary.
Right. I mean, even with the Chinese food comparison, I mean, you know, that's a sugary orange.
Yes,
I mean,
definitely.
this smells cleaner.
Yeah.
This smells clean.
But yeah, I'm definitely also getting like some hay notes on the finish and kind of like a little cereal-like.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Which, I don't know. I kind of feel like I get this particular scent on the end when the malts are a little out of kilter for like a hoppier beer. But then again, maybe it's intentional. I don't know. Sometimes it's like a hoppy wheat. And then you can really get the hops, but, you know, that weedy cerealness is there intentionally.
Yeah, I mean, this does not smell like an IPA. I mean, maybe like a pale, maybe a wheat.
It could be. I'll definitely have to taste it, which I'm going to do. That's interesting. Because it tastes, I get a little bit of like a tartness, like citrus, like a citrus tart hoppiness at first. And then it, like, real quickly dissipates to, like, a sugary, rich orange flavor.
Huh. The first thing I thought of was grape juice. And not...
Okay.
Not like a Concord grape, but, like, a white grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And on you get more of the ale in the back end, but that front end is much sweeter on the front end.
Yeah, I could definitely feel you on that. You are correct. It does have like a white grape juice type quality in the finish. I don't know. It's kind of weird because it just gets watery at the end to me.
Yeah.
It kind of just like dissipates to this wateriness, and I feel like everything is falling off my palate except a little bit of bitterness and that kind of like cereal note that I was getting
right.
in the
It definitely
scent.
Has a beer... I mean, not a lot, but like a bitter tinge at the end.
Yes.
And, you know, it's mostly clean, but there is that bitter tinge at the end.
There is. It's very
and
orangey
it seems
to me, though.
The flavor seems to kind of disintegrate at the end, too. Like, it kind of tastes like two beers.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, the beer on the front end, the beer on the back end. I mean, they're different.
The mouthfeel is not extremely light, but the way the flavor ends is very light. So it's kind of confusing because it starts out a little bit more on like the resiny, syrupy. No, I don't want to say resiny on the syrupy side.
Yeah,
a little more full, but then it just falls off your tongue at the end.
Right.
So it's kind of weird. I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
it kind of. It's heavy in the sense that. The body is a little bit fuller than medium bodied.
Yes.
But then you're totally right that in both texture and in taste, it just falls right off.
Yeah.
So it's hard for your tongue to kind of realize the weight of it until you go back and remember.
Yeah, and that it's leaving me with like that cereally note at the end, which I'm really not a big fan of. So I don't know. I don't think this is going
to. And I'm trying to taste that orange you're talking about, and I get a little bit.
It's in the front.
It's in the front, right.
But it's more of like I was talking about before, like more of like a dehydrated type orange, so it's not like real citric acidy. It's more of like a sweet dehydrated orange.
Right.
So you're just getting like the sugars out of it
right.
as opposed to citric acid.
Orange, that white grape juice we were talking about.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I'm on that beer. I'm going to be honest. What about you? Kind of.
It's a little below average.
Okay. Yeah, I'd agree with that. All right, well, let's start smelling on B. B is the very dark one with a nice tan head to it, but not extremely tan. Oh, my God. Tell me what you smell immediately in that.
Well, coffee.
Yeah. It's like a green coffee, too. It doesn't smell like it's, like, a fully roasted coffee, like young green coffee.
Oh, I can see that. I can see that, yeah.
I like, jumps out at me, and it actually almost imparts a little bit of a minty note on the nose to me.
Yeah, I mean, usually with beers like this, you associate chocolate and coffee at the same time, but this is much more on the coffee end of it.
So much. There is definitely some chocolate there, but it's kind of more of like a dark chocolate.
Yeah, and a little bit of vanilla. Not in a sweet way, but in
I can see the vanilla.
In kind of this you know, vanilla, the spice, not the dessert way.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the vanilla. I was trying to suss out what else was in there, and I think you hit it with the vanilla there.
Well, let's not get it. The main smell is green coffee.
Oh, yeah. But you got to try and pick out all the extra stuff.
Yeah, huge. I mean, this is the fourth beer I've smelled tonight, and this is by far the most aromatic beer that we've had.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like that green coffee, the dark chocolatiness, the tinge of mint, and that vanilla are kind of coming together to go together pretty harmoniously in the nose.
I mean, of course, I want to like every beer I have, but in general, I'm not a coffee drinker.
Okay.
You know, I can have, you know, coffee ice cream or, you know, tiramisu or something like that, but I do not drink. I don't go to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts and get a cup of Joe.
Understandable. Well, I'm going to try this beer. Mm. Ooh.
Oh, what is that?
Tastes a little cinnamony when I actually taste it. Hmm. This kind of tastes like a cinnamon stout or cinnamon porter with like
coffee.
Coffee. Wow. I definitely.
And the roast.
There's vanilla in there too.
I would say it's a very light roast. It's. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got a mixture of sweet malts and roasted malts, but the roasted malts are not very strong.
The coffee isn't nearly as pronounced in the flavor as it was in the aroma.
It's definitely there.
It's definitely there.
You're right. It's less.
It's mainly lingering after your sip. What you're getting up front, I feel like, is just like a slam of cinnamon and some vanilla in there. Like we were smelling the vanilla. I don't think I'm getting any of that like mintiness.
Like a tiny bit of. It's either like licorice or prune juice or, you know, something in
that. I could see both of those, actually. Licorice and prune juice together.
Yeah.
Which prune juice just makes it sound really nasty. Well, but it's not in a bad way.
Well, right. Prune juice, I mean, obviously dried plums, but it's also what makes Dr. Pepper taste like what it does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to go along with like the prune juice thing, it kind of similar. It has like a little bit of it, like a date type flavor to it.
And I mean, I'm sensitive to caffeine, and I wonder if this really does have actual coffee in it because
I feel like bouncing on walls.
No, I feel a little bit of pep because I'm pretty highly sensitive to caffeine, so I wonder if this has like, you know, just coffee straight up added to it.
It's possible because there is definite coffee to it. You know it because you're getting a bit of that, like, acridity that you typically get from drinking actual coffee. Mm-hmm. So, interesting. Man, this is a little tough for me to figure out. So, as you know, you've listened to the show before, scale of 1 to 10 for these beers. If you need to go between the two.
Well, we've had the discussion before, but on the scoring, you know, the kind of that middle beer where you could take it or leave it, and it's just you'd take it, you'd have it again if somebody gave it to you, but you wouldn't necessarily go out and buy it. That's like a,
it's like a three for
that's
you.
That's like, well, I mean, you know, just so I'm consistent with other scores, that's like a three beer.
Whatever you want to do, three on the show has typically been like that's an okay beer.
Okay,
you know, like I could, if someone gave it to me, I guess I could. Two's a little bit below that, and one's obviously just stuff you never want to smell again, even.
Right. Well, I will say, I mean, are we given scores? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, if you feel ready on either of them, go ahead and tell me what you want to give it. And if you want me to take the lead on either of them, just to see what I'm giving it.
No, I'm... Well, do you want to do one at a time, or do you want me to give both?
You can go ahead and give both.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, I will say I am preferring one. I would say two, it's... Instead of... It doesn't have a... It seems like a little all over the place. I'm sorry, two. B.
There are a lot of flavors competing in that beer. There's a lot.
It seems a little all over the place, and not the biggest coffee fan.
I get you.
So I will say I prefer A. So I'm going to give... It's not... B is not awful by any means. I'm going to give B a 2.
Okay. So Dan's going a 2 on B.
And, I mean, if I were, if we were able to go decimal points, I might give A a 2.7, but...
Well, you gotta jump it up to 3.
I'm gonna have to jump it up to 3 just for a rounding error. I mean, it's not quite average, but it's close enough for me to feel okay with giving it a 3.
Well... For A, I'm definitely going with a 2 on A.
Okay.
So that's a 2.5 overall for A. I'm not a big fan of that. Like we were saying, the body just goes totally away with the flavor at the end of the sip, and there's just not too much going on in there for me.
No.
It's not the worst beer I've ever had, but I also don't really want to drink it ever again. Right. So, you know, it's like pass on that one. I'm having a little bit harder time with B because I'm between two numbers. I'm actually between a 3 and a 4.
Oh, wow.
Because I like a lot of the flavors that are going on in it, so that leads me toward a 4. But for some reason, the way these flavors are coming together are kind of clanging a little bit.
Yeah.
It almost feels like they're competing too much with one another. And that, like, cinnamony type flavor that I'm getting, like, right off the bat is kind of a little off-putting to me, and it's been very bitter with that cinnamon flavor too, which I don't know. So I think in this case I probably just have to go with a 3. As much as I wanted to be generous and give it a 4, I just feel like the flavors are just not as harmonious as I want them to be.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going back to it, and it almost has like a Mexican chocolate,
okay,
type thing in it.
So you're talking like a little bit of like a spice to
chocolate.
It.
Man, that might just be the cinnamon. I think if I was a coffee fan, I'd be much more in line with you.
Yeah.
But I'm just not a coffee fan.
I think because of Dan's preference for A and my preference for B, they actually ended up being tied.
Oh.
so they're both at 2.5. So there's no actual winner for this episode, which is fine. I mean, they're just tied. They didn't perform extremely well, but they performed. So I'll just do... They performed somehow. So I'll do A and then B. Do you want to take any guesses on A, like who you think it might be by, or like what style you think it is? I think it's an IPA of some sort
It's a weak feel. IPA.
If it is. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
A with an overall 2.5 is... Fort Collins Brewery's Major Tom's Pomegranate Wheat.
Pomegranate?
Okay. Well, okay, totally didn't get the pomegranate, but I was saying a wheatiness, a cereal, hay type finish, so I guess that's where it's coming from, being
right.
Wheatish.
That might be where it gets its sweetness and it's, you know, a tiny bit of that. It's not a tart beer, but just little bit of that tart, you know, ish.
I'm trying to see if it actually has an ABV, and I can't find any sort of ABV on this. It's probably
like 5.
Yeah, probably around there. But our most unique creation is a result of the tasteful infusion of pomegranate into one worthy wheat ale. The outcome is a refreshingly crisp straw blonde brew that finishes sweet and tart just the way we like it. Well, you were just saying it wasn't tart. I don't think it's tart either. So
I mean, it is sweet. I mean, not overly sweet, but it tastes the sweetness.
Is this like... Well, they don't even date code on this, so you can't even tell if it's like old and crappy.
Loser.
But I'm not surprised. Typically, I don't like what Fort Collins offers.
Are they
not
from...
A fan.
Are they... Is that a Colorado?
Colorado, yeah. Yep, Fort Collins, Colorado. So let's go ahead and reveal B. Not a winner. Just got the same overall rating as A, and it is a 22 ounce. So I can feel that there's still some beer there if we want any more of that.
Well, I know that your wife is a fan of the darker brew.
Yeah, so she might enjoy finishing this off. I don't know. So B with also an overall 2.5 is okay.
I recognize this.
Stone Brewing's. God, I don't even want to try to say it. Zocoveza? I don't know. It's X-O-C-O-V-E-Z-A. It's a mocha stout. Oh, it says right here how to pronounce it on the bottle. Shokoveza. Thank you, Stone, for putting on there how to pronounce it. That's actually helpful.
Is that like a Spanish word?
I guess so. It says it's ale brewed with cocoa, coffee, peppers, vanilla, cinnamon, and nutmeg.
What kind of peppers?
I don't know. It just says peppers in general, which makes it tough.
That could be like five different things.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we picked out a lot of it. I mean, obviously we got the cocoa, the coffee, the vanilla, the cinnamon. We didn't pick out specifically the nutmeg. And toward the end, you picked out the peppers because you said you felt like there was a heat to it, like a Mexican chocolate. Hot chocolate, so.
Nah, I think that was more on the cinnamon.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to give. I definitely didn't feel.
Well,
like
you just take the credit.
Well,
just
there wasn't like a capsaicin type thing in there.
Yeah, yeah. So 8.1% alcohol by volume on this. Let me see if there's. Oh no, I'm not even gonna read the text on the back because one, it's like super small, and two, it's stone. So they put like all sorts of like ridiculous text on these bottles.
Oh, talking about dragons and acid trips.
Like, all sorts of crazy stuff. So I'm not gonna get into that. Not what I was hoping for. I mean, I didn't really care for the Fort Collins and the mocha stout thing. Wasn't the best.
I mean, I've seen that Stone beer at the bottle shop, and you know.
You thought about it.
I thought about it, but... Yeah. I'm glad I didn't buy it.
Well, then it's a good thing you were here for the show, because you got a chance to taste it. I much preferred the Scream and the Pliny to these two mystery beers.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
So let's go ahead and we'll end this podcast in a minute. We can sip on those a little bit more, and then Dan's going to be back for one more. We're going to end up talking a little bit about Stone.
Any day that ends with a good double IPA is a good day.
Yeah, it is. And on that note, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.